Wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And if you've been listening this morning, of course, we're talking about Super Bowl 54. Some of the nuances of the game that turned a 10-point lead for the Niners into a Kansas City victory, scoring three unanswered touchdowns. You know, when you look at what the story coming out of this game is going to be, and there's going to be focus on Andy Reid finally winning a Super Bowl, but I think the story really begins and ends with Patrick Mahomes. You know, the last 2 weeks we've been really focusing on Mahomes' rise to prominence in not only the NFL, but in sports in general. He has that characteristic that transcends his sport. I think other athletes can respect him. Other athletes can appreciate him. The NFL is the king sport in the country. He is the king now of the NFL, and that might make him the most, you know, popular athlete. Well, I'll use that in quotes in terms of where he stands in the American sports culture. But I think his story does resonate positive with a lot of people who, you know, don't really have a anti-Kansas City bias. Mahomes coming on in the NFL as a, I don't know what you're thinking, Kansas City type of draft pick, to when he took over the reins to winning an MVP and now leading the team to a Super Bowl and doing it the way he did it with this sort of magical run through the postseason where he showed off a lot of his skills, a lot of his abilities, his ability to come back, his ability not to be out of a game. And that was completely on display in the final 7 minutes of Super Bowl 54, where you look like San Francisco was going to win. It wasn't because they had a 10-point lead, because they had a 10-point lead when Kansas City wasn't able to do anything, getting snuffed on plays, getting taken apart, you know, where there was really nothing downfield enough for Mahomes to make something happen. Even when it was 3rd and 15 before the big play to Tyreek Hill, there was a feeling of, wow, if they get Mahomes here or they force a punt here, I don't see Kansas City coming back and winning this game. There's been no magic whatsoever at all from Kansas City. And then when the magic happened, it was hard to bottle it in. It was like an avalanche. It was something we saw in the Houston game. It was something we saw in the Tennessee game. It just happened late. Credit the Niners defense for doing and keeping that game in check for 3.5 quarters. But sometimes when the genie's out of the bottle, the genie's here to stay.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Kansas City 31, San Francisco 20. Mahomes takes the snap. He is just going to throw it long for DeMarcus Robinson. It is going to use up all the time. The game is over, and the Chiefs kingdom has firmly planted its flag on top of football's highest summit. The Kansas City Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 54. Final score, Kansas City 31, San Francisco 20. And Chiefs Kingdom, get ready to welcome your champions.
Chiefs Radio Network, the final call of Super Bowl 54 last night. 50 years in the making, and they finally do it.
He sounded like he was waiting 50 years to make that
call. Couldn't wait to make that call. You kidding? Couldn't wait. 50 years, and they finally pull it off.
I mean, he seemed shocked when Mahomes was just running around back there.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, me too. I knew that's what Andy Reid was planning when they showed him on the TV talking to Mahomes. And kind of, I was like, that's what they're going to do. They're going to have him run around and throw it off.
How can we be shocked?
They're going to kneel and then they have to punt with the clock stopped with 5 seconds left.
Even like that first kneel down, my brother turned to me and was like, can he do that? I'm like, yeah, he doesn't have to take a knee right away.
Right.
Everyone thinks that, you know, as soon as, if you're in that formation, you got to take a knee right away. He can wait.
Yeah, sure he can.
And try to knock off like a few seconds here or there. But, I mean, the more he stands up, his blockers aren't really blocking.
No.
He
could end up getting murdered.
So, and by the way, did you hear about the reports of the betting? How Patrick Mahomes took three knees, and so because of that, he lost 5 yards each time. So his the over-under on his rushing total actually went from over before they got the possession to under after he got the possession. So if you had the over on the rushing total for the game, you were psyched until he started kneeling down, and then he was losing yardage every time he did that. And you're like, wait a minute, this is going to add up. And sure enough, it did. It went under the total, and so you would have lost the bet. Now, there was one particular sports book that refunded those bets. That was a tough beat.
Bet that was circular, one prop bet that was out there that I really liked. That I might have put money on, and it was the amount of carries Damian Williams had versus the amount of times Alex Bregman was going to get beat this year.
Yeah, we talked about that last on Friday. That was great.
I mean, so Damian Williams had 17 carries.
He had 17 carries, so now Alex Bregman's going to hit 18 times?
It's on you, baseball.
In order for you to win the bet.
I still think that's going to be done in the first week.
That's great. I know. That's a great prop bet. That was great. All right, so the other records that were either tied or met up within Super Bowl 54.
There was one record that was broken.
All right, one record, which was?
It was most rushing yards in a game by a wide receiver.
Oh, okay.
And that goes to Deebo Samuel with 53 yards.
That's right. He was getting those early, too, wasn't he? Was like, there was one play he got like 40 yards on a carry. I think it was not a reverse, but it was kind of a trick play.
Three carries for 53 yards. Longest was 32.
Did they say whose record he broke?
Broke, unfortunately. And then there were a bunch of records that were tied. Most touchdowns in one quarter, two by Damian Williams. So I guess, a lot of people have had two. Most points in a fourth quarter, 21 by Kansas City.
Not bad.
Fewest punt returns in a game for the team. Zero by Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
Kansas City never returned a punt.
I think they only had like two punts. They only caught two punts, right?
But it went to the end zone.
That was a weird stat when Fox brought it up when the Niners punted late. Then it said their first punt of the game. I was like, I'm trying to pay attention to this stuff, but I'm like, I swear they had punted earlier in the game. And then when I reviewed the online box score and I was looking at the drive summary and I was like, nope, they didn't. I was like, wow, I would have swore the Niners had punted in the first half.
Okay, this doesn't make any sense.
What?
Well, it says fewest punt returns for the game, team zero, Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's two punts kicked to them. I'm pretty sure one of them went to the end zone, but one of them was inside the 20.
Was it a fair catch?
But that still would count as a punt, a return.
So those are you talking return yardage? Fair catch.
Well, no, because the next one is fewest punt return yards game, both teams zero.
Yeah, so there was nobody returned a punt.
Yeah,
interesting.
And fewest fumbles lost in a game by both teams zero.
Yeah, there were no fumbles in the game.
Yeah, couple interceptions.
There was a couple interceptions. I think both teams had two. Mahomes had two, and then Garoppolo had one before the final one that sort of sealed it.
But here are some interesting notes I thought you would enjoy.
Yes.
Because I know you're a Super Bowl junkie.
Yes, I am.
For the Chiefs, with their victory at Super Bowl 54, the Chiefs become the 13th team with multiple Super Bowl victories. Their first and second wins are a record 50 years apart.
I'm assuming that's the longest between Super Bowl victories.
Super Bowls.
That's got to be it.
This is what I found interesting just because of our upbringing. With the win by the Chiefs, the AFC is now tied with the NFC in Super Bowl victories.
Finally!
They're 27-27. It is the fifth win in the last six Super Bowls for the AFC.
Well, you can thank New England for that.
Yep, and they're sixth in the last eight.
Yeah.
But, I mean, remember forever. I mean,
it was awful.
NFC just dominated.
It was awful. The NFC teams were so good. It was unbelievable how much better they were than the AFC counterparts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the – growing up in New England, I'm telling you right now, Super Bowl 20, when the Patriots beat the Bears beat the Patriots, I think New England was the only area in the country – and this was again, 1985. I think New England was the only area in the country that was happy the Patriots – everybody wanted the Dolphins because the Dolphins at least had beaten the Bears during the regular season. The Patriots – there was nobody who thought the Patriots could even keep the game close – against the Chicago Bears.
Just juggernaut football team. But the only team that people could see making that game interesting, that Super Bowl interesting, was a team that had beaten them during the regular season. That was Dan Marino and the Dolphins. But that's how good those teams were. From Joe Montana and the Niners to the Bears and the defense and the Giants and the Redskins. I mean, those teams were stacked.
It was ridiculous.
But the tide is turning to the AFC. And again, the Patriots have eaten up a lot of that, a lot of that stuff over the last 15 years. But still.
One more note for the Chiefs. The Chiefs are the first team to win three postseason games in which they trailed by 10-plus points at some point.
That's amazing. I retweeted this from Josh Dubow. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. From the Associated Press. Here's the records of various quarterbacks in games in postseason games in which trailing by 10-plus points at some point in the game. Patrick Mahomes is 3-1. Brady is 6-6. Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger are both 2-8. In the play, that's amazing to me that Peyton Manning is 2-8 in the playoffs. If at any point he's down by 10+, I mean that's Drew Brees is 2-7. Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre are both 1-4. Rivers, Kurt Warner, Cam Newton are both 0-4. So what I'm saying is that's not a deficiency on those great quarterbacks. That's just showing you how hard it is to win a postseason game in which you're trailing by 10 points at some point, whether early, late, doesn't matter. It's hard to get back into a game. It is hard to win a game when you're trailing by 10-plus points. That's why even though there was a boatload of football left to play in that Texans game, that's why people were saying the Texans were moving on and winning and people were leaving. Because it's really hard to come back in the NFL when you're down, you know, by 24 points. That's a lot of points. That's a lot of possessions. 10 is only 2, and these guys failed to have decent records situations. And Mahomes is 3-1.
There it is. The comeback from 10 points down matches the second biggest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's how big it is. I mean, that's being how big 10 it points is. Down, you're done.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's been a couple of teams that have done the came back from 10 points down. The one that's always sticks out in my mind are the Redskins because they were able to do that in the first half.
Yep, and the Patriots.
They're the number one team.
That's number one. Point comeback. It was 25 points.
a couple notes on Patrick Mahomes. It's the 30th time that the Super Bowl MVP has been a quarterback.
Yeah, that's a very, very good position to be in.
At 24 years, 138 days, Patrick Mahomes is the second youngest quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
There is a little bit of concern, and this is something I saw last night. Some athletes can really take early success, I mean super early success, and turn it into something gargantuan.
Yeah,
right. I always wanted to use that in a sentence.
Well,
gargantuan.
That's why I was going to pose it to you. He's the second youngest quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Can you name the youngest?
The youngest quarterback to win a Super Bowl that was less than 24. Tom Brady.
Nope.
Was 24, but probably not. Probably he was kicking towards 25.
He was older than Mahomes.
Oh my goodness.
You know this cat,
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes, sir.
That's right. It was his second year.
Yep.
In the league. So
I mean, he was young, and he went on to great things.
He did. So he did. And I think Mahomes' future is incredibly bright.
I do, too.
There is this a little bit of, okay, he has been, at 24 years old, he has been given a basket full of goodies, right?
Right.
A basket full of goodies. And sometimes, next thing you know, it's wow! Look at that. But I think Mahomes is the new king of sports.
Right.
He's not only in the NFL. I think he's the new king of sports.
He's the youngest player to ever win an NFL MVP and a Super Bowl, surpassing Emmitt Smith.
So, that's right.
He's already eclipsed Emmitt there with 2 touchdown passes in Super Bowl 54. Mahomes became the 5th quarterback to throw 10 or more touchdown passes in a single postseason.
Amazing.
Montana, Warner, and Flacco. Flacco.
Flacco.
I can't believe he's in that conversation. But Montana, Warner, and Flacco each had 11. Brady had 10.
God.
And then finally, this is the one that really sticks out. Mahomes now has a career record, including postseason, of 28-8 as a starting quarterback.
That's mind-boggling.
That's
really great. That is really incredible. I mean, that is jumping into the deep end of the pool.
You know, let's take guesses for next year. 13-3.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes
sense.
I can see the Chiefs going 13-3, not including postseason. But, I mean, I don't see – it's almost like a perfect storm for him right now, right?
That's where people are nervous, right? I mean, it's just so much stuff.
Well, the Patriots, they had a perfect storm for years, decades, because the AFC East was so down. And right now, you look at that AFC West, it's like, you know what? I don't think any of those teams are really going to be challenging the Chiefs next year.
Not yet. You could see.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. But you could see, you know, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe Drew Locke's the real deal. In a couple of years, he's got a real competitive Broncos team under his belt.
Right. But that's why I'm saying 13-3.
No.
You know, there's playing that division. There's six wins for him right there.
Yeah, he's now really mind-boggling when you think about him just coming in and just there's hardly any learning curve here, right? There's like a few snaps at the in his rookie year,
yeah,
and then they go, here, take it over, and he becomes the MVP, 50 touchdowns. Like, he's a D Ford offsides away from going to the Super Bowl last year,
right?
I mean, last year he could have gone to the Super Bowl. And now he wins the championship. He brings it home to Kansas City. I mean, it's all coming in gigantic waves before you're 25 years old.
Well, I mean, this is kind of what we expected out of Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
And it never happened.
Exactly. And it never happened, right?
I
mean, it never happened.
For sure. I remember making the joke because Andrew Luck brought his team to the playoffs. They lost the first weekend. Then he brought them back the second year. They lost the second week. And I'm like, he just keeps going. Then he brought them to the AFC championship. I'm like, yeah, he's not going to win this game, but he's going to be in the Super Bowl next year. Because that was, he just kept, you know, one-upping himself. Patrick Mahomes is skipping steps.
Yeah. I mean, imagine that.
I mean, it's
amazing.
It's going to be fun watching him next year.
Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and spell it with two N's, please, or he doesn't get it. Also, 800-224-2004, 800-224-2004. It's Super Bowl Monday. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along. We got a buy or sell Super Bowl edition coming up in this hour. And again, if you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Your thoughts on the Super Bowl? I've been saying this all morning. This is one of those hard, it's a hard Super Bowl, at least in the final 6 minutes, to process. I think there's just a combination of good things for Kansas City and what they did. And I think there are some things that should be criticized and should be analyzed from a 49ers standpoint. Now, a lot of times, here's the deal. When you have a comeback in a game, and it doesn't matter whether it's 24-0 against the Texans or 10-0 against the Titans, or in this case, when they were down 10 in this game, there is going to be an element where the other part of the equation fails. That's part of the deal. Right. There is going to be a meltdown, if you will, or a breakdown, if you will. It depends on the severity of it. So it's not like the Chiefs, you know, the Chiefs did a lot of good things, but the 49ers had some issues as well. That's just the given. But I do think the things that the 49ers did to allow Kansas City more opportunities to take that lead in that Super Bowl and eventually win it by 11 were, I think, need to be analyzed and need to be scrutinized. I don't think this is all on Mahomes and the Chiefs just doing Mahomes and the Chiefs type of things, and therefore they go on to win the Super Bowl in the final, you know, again, 7 minutes by rallying from a 10-point deficit. I think that Kyle Shanahan really did make some mistakes in offensive play calling that facilitated Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City getting back into this game, and I don't think it's unfair to scrutinize those things. To be more pass heavy in the second half when you have a lead, then at any point in the playoffs, for whatever reason, that was the half to choose to be more pass happy than run happy when run was successful. You could make the argument if running wasn't working or if the Chiefs defense was snuffing out those runs and you felt like your better opportunity was to find some plays in finding Kittle across the way or whatever it is that was getting you some success in throwing the ball. that would be okay. I think a lot of people would be would accept the give and take nature of throwing the ball, right? The good and the bad that come with it if you're kind of forced to do it and you as a fan know that they're being forced to do it. But that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case. Kansas City's defense had done good, but it wasn't stopping the 49ers running game. And so I think there is some scrutiny on this side. But here's the thing. What Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs did in coming back from this in winning this game, I think I don't want to say more fun, but what I want to say is I think the more entertaining part of the story of Super Bowl 54 is not dwelling on the woulda, coulda, shouldas of the 49ers, but just basking in this comeback football team that had done it the entire postseason, that had found deficits that were not big enough for them to overcome, be it 10 points or 24 points, right? They were able to just settle down and get what they needed to do. It starts with the big throw to Tyreek Hill on 3rd and 15, no less. It's a throw that obviously they got what they wanted out of that play. Andy Reid drew it up for Peter King, called it something wasp, right? It was designed to trick up the secondary so that you get Tyreek Hill's speed taken advantage of. So Mahomes knew where that ball was heading, and I mean he was wide open. Imagine if Mahomes had thrown that ball even further, just a little bit further, and caught Hill while he was in stride towards the end zone. I mean, Hill had to kind of stop and kind of come back to the ball a bit to catch it for the first down. But if that is somehow an incompletion, if that is somehow Mahomes missed through that, or it was there was enough pressure that threw him off a little bit, or whatever it was, now the Chiefs are facing a fourth down midway through the fourth quarter, down 10. Is it panic time then, or do you have to punt and say let's do something defensively to try to get this ball back two more times? Right? Look, we can all play woulda, coulda, shoulda, but that's such a big moment in the game. It's the biggest moment in the game. And there's another, he throws another pass later on. The one that he hits Sammy Watkins in stride, just going down the side, that's as gorgeous of a throw as you're going to see. Just as gorgeous of a throw as you're going to get. These are the things that the Chiefs did in the Super Bowl that I don't want to diminish by any type of, boy, Kyle Shanahan should have called a run, or Kyle Shanahan made this play, called this, whatever it was, or Garoppolo missed this throw to Emmanuel Sanders that should have been a touchdown. What the Chiefs did by staying in this game and realizing, and they all kind of said it afterwards, we just never thought we were beaten. And we looked beaten because the team we were playing was fantastic. We looked beaten because the defense was the best we had ever faced. But we weren't. We knew if we just found a moment, we'd capitalize on it and win the game. That's the level of confidence they have. Now, a lot of guys do say this after these situations. I don't know how many of them actually believed it, but I got to believe they did. Because they've seen it. They've seen it time and time again. Right? They saw it. There was no deficit that was too big for this football team. And 10 points certainly was not going to be a deal-breaking killer for this Chiefs team once they got rolling. They knew, get us the ball, let's score. If we get the ball again, all we need is three to at least tie, and then we're right back into this thing. Get a touchdown and we lead. But I was like, I saw Jimmy Garoppolo with the ball with about, two or three minutes left, and I thought, I could be watching, forgive me for saying this, Joe Montana part two. Not in that Garoppolo is Joe Montana, but the same situation, right? Cincinnati had the 49ers backed up. Joe Montana comes on the field, talks about seeing John Candy on the sidelines. You know the story. And then everybody on the Niners knew we're going to win this game. Like, if Joe's that cool, we're going to win this game. Right? We're going to just march down the field and score. And I was wondering if the Niners were feeling that too. Like, okay, you know what? Fine. Now we're down by four, but we have the ball with plenty of time. We have one of the smarter offensive guys on that sideline calling plays. We've got a quarterback that I said all week, if he had to throw, could throw. Right? If he needed him to. But they ran the ball so well and just couldn't. In the end, Chiefs defense makes the plays. It's fourth down. They make another play with pressure. They force Garoppolo into this blah desperation heave, and the rest is Super Bowl history. Good for the Chiefs for winning this thing, but I think the Niners, do need some scrutiny here. You don't want to take from the Magic, because the Magic is special, because we don't know how the tricks are done. Sometimes you need to go after what the Niners did.
Welcome back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Time now for Buy or Sell. Buy or Sell.
All right, it's Buy or Sell time. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And it's the Super Bowl edition of the Buy or Sell. So much we still have not dissected from yesterday's big game. All right, well, so let's get, well, go ahead.
I was going to say, on Friday, we did a Super Bowl edition of Buy or Sell, what we thought would happen.
Right.
Now this is our overreaction and analysis of what actually did happen.
Got it. All right. I like this part. I like this fun game. Let's get started.
So, I don't know if you caught it. The national anthem was sung beautifully yesterday.
I heard. Again, I'm in the kitchen, but I heard it was awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna play a little snippet of you so you can hear it, okay? Because this is for all you listeners out there. You guys, if you didn't miss, sometimes you miss a national anthem.
Yeah.
But this is what it sounded like.
Oh, say does that star. For the land of the free. And the home of the brave.
Oh, well done, Demi Lovato.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people took to social media immediately and said, oh, that was the best rendition of the national anthem ever sung.
Short-term memory.
Yeah. Because my buy or sell to you is that it was good, but it still doesn't hold a candle to Whitney.
It's not Whitney Houston good. But a lot of the Whitney Houston was, man, we were going to war. Remember that?
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of emotion.
I got a little Whitney for you, too. So you,
there we go.
Just underneath. But yeah, a lot of it was context.
And that's context.
I was trying to explain that to my sister-in-law, who was like, oh my God, that was the best ever. I was like, yes, but you were 1 year old with Whitney Sayers.
Right. And also, too, that Super Bowl, there was a lot of fear. Like, we didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
There was SWAT teams around. I mean, there was high security. We were going to war, and it was a time of real nervousness for the country and a lot of nervousness for the people. We didn't know what was going on. She delivers something when most people are at a stage of feeling patriotic but also a little worried about where we were going. I think it's a perfect storm that occurs. She nails it.
But isn't it
funny?
And
also the context.
I mean, we're talking, I'm trying to do the math in my head. This is about 30 years later, right? 29 years later.
Yeah, about so, yeah.
And I don't even remember who sang it after 9/11.
9/11, if I'm not mistaken, was it Paul McCartney? I think it was at the New Orleans. It was Patriots Rams. And I think it was Paul McCartney. But I don't know.
Singing the national anthem?
I think, no, I'm sorry, not the national halftime show.
Yeah, no,
I'm sorry.
I'm saying
national anthem. Oh, I don't know who sang the national anthem.
Yeah, I don't either. But nope. We vividly remember Whitney.
Yeah.
In 91.
That's right.
I can't. The only other one I remember is the one that I went to. It was Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks sang the national anthem?
Yeah, the one in 93, Cowboys Bills Part 1.
That's awesome.
It was Garth Brooks. And I do remember hearing this story, too, that Garth Brooks, I guess, was stuck in traffic. And didn't know if he was going to be able to make it to the Super Bowl on time. So they found some random guy to do it, who was just there as a fan to sing the national anthem, just in case. And that was John Bon Jovi.
Wow, some random guy to do it.
Some random guy who happened to be just taken in the game. Said, hey,
That's awesome, John, if
Garth can't do it, you think you can go up there and sing the national anthem? Do you know the words to the national anthem?
It's like, give me the script. I'll do it.
Give me the lyrics. I don't remember.
That's amazing. Good job.
Okay, I'm gonna answer this by yourself for you because you did not. We already talked about it earlier. The NFL had four servicemen who were 100 years old present the coin.
Yep.
Colonel Charles McGee, who was one of the original Tuskegee Airmen, was on hand. He was the one who handed the coin off to the referee. My buy or sell to you is that he looks good for at least, it looks like he's good to go for at least another 15 or 5 to 10 years.
I'm assuming he is.
He looked amazing, Tony. Like, you gotta see, you gotta check out a video of him, because I would not, if you told me that man was 100 years old, I would say you're lying.
Awesome.
That's how good this guy looked. I was like, I hope I look that good when I'm 100.
Me too. I probably won't make it to 100.
I probably won't either. But if I do, I want to look like that guy, because he looks like he's going to 105, 110.
Good
easy.
Job. Well done.
The little ad beforehand, the NFL to the next 100, where they had all the NFL stars. There's a scene in there where Steve Young talked. If you remember, all the NFL stars were going, take it to the house, kid. So there's a scene where they're all coming out of a hotel, and Joe Montana tells the kid, take it to the house, kid. Steve Young tells the kid, take it to the house, kid. Jimmy Garoppolo comes out, take it to the house, kid. Joe Montana turns to Jimmy Garoppolo and goes, take the bags to the car, kid, which I absolutely loved. Steve Young then tells Joe Montana to give Jimmy a tip, and Joe said he would do it, but it's obvious that he did not. Given last night's game.
Yeah, okay. I saw where you were going.
It's a long way to
get
there.
Yeah, long way to get there, but I got there. All right. Yeah, no, obviously, because he had the ball with like a couple of minutes left, like Joe Montana did, and failed miserably to move the team down the field in a position to score.
Just overthrowing receivers. Montana never would have
had Emmanuel Sanders and missed him. Missed him by 5 yards.
It's pretty obvious that Jimmy did not find John Candy in the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, we've said that all day long. I don't know who today's John Candy would be. Maybe that's Kevin James. I don't know.
Maybe so. Like, yeah, who would the John Candy be at the Super Bowl on the sidelines? I mean, Kevin James is good. That's a good pick.
Isn't that just because I'm picking a big white guy?
Yeah. Maybe Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart?
He was there. He seemed to be there.
Every Super Bowl, by the way.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter if his team's in it or not. He's trying to get on that stage.
That's right.
Still trying after all these years.
Yep.
Shakira will be talked about around the water cooler today more than J-Lo.
Shakira was really good. Shakira was really good. I was more impressed with her than J-Lo.
I could have used
more
Shakira.
I didn't realize Shakira was in her 40s.
She's my age.
So I didn't know that. All I kept saying the whole time last night was J-Lo's 50. And she's doing that thing. She was
on the pole.
On the pole. She was energized. She had a lot. Like, at one point, I was making the joke, like, she's 50 and she's not going, okay.
No. Woo. I would have been.
Woo, Shakira, you do the next song. Woo, I got to go sit down. Like, she didn't do any of that stuff. She was as energy and popping and everything.
I don't know if it's a late addition. I mean, it's not really a buy or sell, but Alex Rodriguez is going to put a bowl in their pole in their house.
I would. Are you kidding me? I would.
Did you see he was on the field?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. The other thing too. I didn't know that was her daughter.
Yep, I didn't
until
either.
Afterwards. I don't know much about J-Lo's life, but I didn't know it was her daughter until it was pointed out. Then also too. So this is what was going on. During one of Shakira's performances, there was a guy in glasses and a hat, right? I didn't know who he was.
Neither did I.
All right, nobody in the room knew who he was. So a friend of my son's was in there, and he said, that's Bad Bunny.
Yes.
And I immediately said to him, you are lying and making that up.
I saw the same thing, and I'm like, that is a made-up name.
I said, you are making that up.
No such person.
You know everybody in this room would just take your word for it, being that you're the youngest one here, and you got a bunch of old people in this room, but you've just made that up. And then he found out it was true. He goes, and then he showed it to me. I go, well, maybe that is the guy.
I will say this, that a bet I definitely would have lost on was the fact that Pitbull did not show up.
I was waiting for Pitbull the whole time. I said, where's Mr. Worldwide?
There was another guy that came out and says, that's Pitbull, right? And my brother and sister-in-law, who were younger than me, were like, no, not even close. I'm like, all right, I'm just assuming he's going to be coming out at some point. I'm going to name every guy coming on stage as Pitbull.
I thought Pitbull was absolutely going to show up at the Super Bowl, be a part of that. But no, that was J-Lo's. I think they wanted to make it Shakira and J-Lo's girl power show.
I guess so.
Yep.
At the end of the game, that was by far the most animated you have ever seen Andy Reid in his head coaching career.
I agree.
I was like, I've never seen this man crack emotion ever.
Yeah.
And this was it.
He was great. It was good to see.
This win secures Andy Reid's Hall of Fame candidacy.
Yeah. People would have made the argument he didn't need it, but I didn't. I thought he needed it. And then he needed it. He's got such a long time in this league. He is so popular with his players. It's silly.
Yeah.
It's silly how popular he is with his players. I mean, but yeah, it was a good fit. I agree. I buy that.
Patrick Mahomes Hall of Fame candidacy. This win secures his.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. What if he gets hurt and he's never the same again?
He's got an MVP.
Like, what if he has an Alex Smith level, double fracture?
And just, Teddy Bridgewater.
It. Teddy, right?
Twig snapped in half.
So I'm going to say no, because that kind of thing can happen.
But he has an MVP and a Super Bowl win.
That's
and
right.
MVP already.
Doubt, I would, like, but let's say week four. He gets, it's just awful. I mean, his leg breaks in three. I mean, it's just awful, right? And it's just, it's like, he's out for this year. He could be out next year. Like, it's that kind of leg injury. Like, it's awful. Do you give it to a guy after two awesome, incredible years? You give him a bust in the Hall of Fame? Now, listen, if he's, I don't even care if he's hurt. If he just keeps coming back and they keep going to the playoffs and all that stuff, I would say, yeah, but it's not there yet. It's a lot immediately. I need a little bit more over time. Remember, Terrell Davis was an MVP of a Super Bowl, right? Terrell Davis was an MVP, and it took forever for him to get in because he didn't play long enough.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so, I mean, he had over 2,000 yards rushing in a season. And the people were like, nope, still need more resume on it before we put you in.
But that rationality, that means Mahomes, not first ballot Hall of Famer, but by six or seven, he's in.
Yeah.
Because if Terrell Davis had a 2,000 yard rushing, which wasn't a record, he didn't break the record.
No, but he hit that mark. Yep.
And he had a Super Bowl MVP. He got in eventually. Mahomes has, an NFL MVP, Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl win, and 50 plus touchdowns in a season.
Yep.
So he's on his way.
He's getting very, very close. He's like another one. Like if he lands one next year, then it's a lot.
Because
if we're saying Eli gets in with two with all of his deficiencies, this kid could get in with two even if his career was cut short by like 30. Like if he was like 30 and done for the season. If he got two and was out of the league at 29 because of injuries or something, he would be in.
Right. All right. I got two more for you. Jimmy Garoppolo and the rest of the Niners are going to suffer that growing trend by Super Bowl losers and miss out on the playoffs next year.
Could see it.
Or just sneak in and lose wild card weekend.
I could see it. That division is tough. And I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think the Rams are going to be down again.
It was so topsy-turvy in late in the season as to who got the number one seed and who had to play wild card weekend. I could totally see this. The Rams should be back. The Seahawks should still be very good. They should be still very good. But you just don't know. I mean, to win that division is hard. The ball's going to bounce different ways. I buy that. I absolutely buy that. That's tough. That's not a winnable division every year like the Patriots had or what the Chiefs may be getting in the next year or two. That's a division you have. It's blood, sweat, or tears, man.
That's an uphill climb. That's a fun division.
And a very fun division. And Arizona's getting better. Even Arizona's going to start getting better.
Kyler Murray with the rookie of the year.
That's right.
I mean, that division is going to be tight.
Yep. They may go like 8-8, but beat you one time or give you a game every time. So yeah, I 100% buy that. That's very, very, very good possibility.
And then the final one. This was a good Super Bowl. But outside of it being Mahomes first, it will be largely forgettable 5 years from now.
I could see that. Yeah, for people not emotionally involved in this, didn't have a stake in it. Yeah, it wasn't. I don't think it's hugely memorable.
There wasn't that signature play that we think about in our head over and over and over again.
I mean, the best play was just a long completion.
Or the best play.
A controversial touchdown.
That's what I was going to say. The best play might be the controversial touchdown.
Controversial touchdown.
If that counted.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's really it. The biggest play of the game was just a 44-yard gain on a throw that went 60 yards through the air.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's basically the big play of the game. But yeah, if you're not buying t-shirts today or signing up for the special edition, whatever it is, cheap stuff, you'll forget this in 5 minutes.
Basically, if you live outside Kansas City.
Yeah. I agree with that. So people will say no today. You watch in 2 years, you'll be like, oh yeah, I remember that. They came back in something and won that game. Yeah, you'll remember it that way. So there you go. All right, that's the buy or sell edition. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again, so Super Bowl 54 in the books, man, in the books, and the Kansas City Chiefs. They did it. They won, 50 years in the making. I like that buy or sell question about the 49ers, though, because it does. It's a larger question about how we sometimes get a little carried away sometimes in the football where we say, oh, you know, don't worry, they'll be back. Well, you don't know that. You know, you in this league, you don't know that. You can watch a really good team 1 year, and you know with the salary cap, free agency, just the nature of the sport itself, you know that you take these and you just enjoy them for what they are.
Just odd coaching, because the Falcons, they were going to be back.
Sure. They were as good next year, should be fine. Everybody, that's it. They haven't been back since. Not even been back since. They went to the playoffs the next year, yeah. And then they've been kind of a mess.
Panthers too. Rams.
These losing teams in the Super Bowl, it is so hard to get right back where you were. It is so difficult. And even for the Chiefs. Look, the Chiefs have an easier way. Their division is a little bit more manageable. But when you win them, you just never know when the next one is going to come. Could be 50 years, could be next year. You never know.